former Air New Zealand cabin attendant Taniko Nordstrom and her sister-in-law Vienna Nordstrom are the creative duo behind Soldiers Road Portraits, a unique photography business they set up together in 2011. Based in Kemureti, Cambridge, they dress their customers in Māori, Pacifica, Native American and First Nations regalia and then photograph them to create a vintage-style portrait. You can see a gallery of their work on our webpage now, actually. It's absolutely amazing. Soldiers Road have taken this idea overseas and in 2016 started a project called Behind the Wire, Rangatahi Ki Rangatira. Through this social enterprise, they take portraits of inmates at the Te Aomarama Māori Focus Unit at Waikerea Prison in the Waikato as a means of reconnecting them with their cultural identity and whakapapa. And Taniko Nordstrom joins me now via Skype from Kemureti, Cambridge. Taniko, tēnā koe.
Morena.
No hea koe, Taniko, where are you from?
Oh, well, I'm Ngāti Hine, Ngāti Kahungungu ki Wairua, Rongo Mai Wahine, and Waikato Pānui.
Tēnā koe, no mai e tiwiri o ngaiwi. Welcome on to the program. Where did the idea for the pilot come from?
Well, it's a bit, both Vienna and I have worked as specialist caregivers for Oranga Tamariki prior to us starting our business. I also have a mother that kind of worked really heavily in the social scene, you know, helping out. And so she actually worked for Oranga Tamariki and she used to do FGCs. She was the first, I think one of the first people in the world to do FGC. So she was actually the one that kind of planted this idea because she's had clients in the past, you know, be in prison. Well, their tamariki obviously are on the outside. And she's convened conferences. And I guess she saw potential for our portraits to be able to kind of reach inside prisons and touch the hearts of those people in there. So my mum was really the catalyst that kind of gave us this idea. But I was watching a Māori television documentary. I think it was on Māori television, and it was on Hini Wiranga Kohu Morgan. She was just the most amazing woman. And I was watching her, and I was just crying, listening to her kōrero. And then I turned to my mother, and I said, "Mom, that's amazing. I'd love to try and you know, get in touch with her and see if she'd like a portrait." And Mum said, "Oh, I know her. She does mahi in prisons." So kind of it all happened really organically. But the idea to help whānau in prisons really stemmed from Vienna and I. We felt like we had been blessed for the mahi we were doing with Soldiers Road. We were traveling around the world and we were meeting all these awesome people and doing all this awesome whakata. And so we really wanted to be able to give back to our Māori culture. We feel like culture, and if you take from it, then you definitely need to replenish. That way it doesn't run out. So, yeah, we just knew we really wanted to give back, and specifically to Māori. And when Mum kind of brought the idea of the prisons up and I had a look at our statistics in there, it did. It made a lot of sense because we obviously, you know, do really poorly within the correction statistics. So it happened really easily, organically, but, yeah, I'm so glad it did.
And I know Hine Wiranga, and she is an absolute champion, and the work that she's been doing in prisons and has been doing in prisons for a long, long time. What was the response of Waikerea when you approached Hine Wiranga? I'm talking prison officials and bureaucracy that can get in the way a lot of this.
Aye. So Hini Wiranga was obviously, you know, pretty instrumental in us even getting in there in the first place. And so she was quite clever, and she kind of invited us to come along as motivational speakers. But really it would be an opportunity for us to kind of present to the prisoners what we had in mind for this idea that we had. And I guess she kind of said, you know, no matter what, it's always good to come and ask the men themselves if they would like to participate in something. You know, if it was something that hadn't been there yet. So we really liked that kind of whakaro. We liked the idea of going and asking the men themselves, "Hey, look, would you even like this idea? Would you like to be photographed? Do you think that this would be something you'd be keen to do?" So we actually went in there as motivational speakers. And I remember the day quite vividly because I had said to my sister-in-law, Vienna, because out of us, she's the very soft one, and I'd say I'm probably more of the harder one. So I said to her, "Look, we can't show any weakness, so make sure, you know, we just stay looking staunch when we go in there." I knew what to expect, but then in saying that, I really, you know, what happened in there blew me away anyway. And so we were met with this amazing widow, Porfiri, and obviously they brought us out through the gates, just me and Vienna, And we were accompanied by Dion Ormsby, who was working out there at the time with Hine. And in we walked into this prison, and we were getting, you know, called with a pukaya and called with karanga. And then as we rounded, you know, the corner to the yard, there's 50 men, beautiful Māori men, standing there doing the haka. And me and Vienna just burst out crying. So that whole stay staunch lasted about 45 seconds. But it was, what was really beautiful was that it was, we hadn't even started yet, and already we knew that we were in the right place, that our idea that we'd created, that it was meant to be there. And so, yeah, that was on the first day. And that day, so we actually went to Te Ao Marama first, went and asked the men, hey, look, this is who we are. This is who me and V, you know, this is what we do. We've been traveling the world and we've been doing this mahi, and this is something we would really like to do for you. And of the 50 men that we asked, all 50 agreed to wanting, you know, wanted it to happen, and were pretty keen. And so we actually went up to see Kevin Smith, who at the time was the prison director for Waikerea Prison. We kind of scheduled it to be able to go and see him afterwards. And I actually think that was a really smart move now, because both Vienna and I were filled with so much wairua after our experience going in. You know, we went in there, they hakaed us, they sung to us, they fed us. And I was just completely gobsmacked at the at the wairua that I felt, and these really good feelings I was feeling inside a prison with all these Māori men. So when we went up to see Kevin, we always joke about it now, but we basically bulldozed him, me and V. We just went up there and we're like, look, we're going in there now. You can't stop
Don't
us.
Get in our way. Don't get
Yeah,
our...
you're going to have to figure out how to help us get in there, because we can really see potential and opportunity to show these men a different perspective of themselves visually and with media. But yeah, we actually went in there. Kevin Smith was really helpful to get us in as well. Obviously, nothing like this had ever happened or has ever happened in Aotearoa before. There's never been photography and whakawhanaungatanga and tikanga as a way to heal. And so there was a few kind of, yeah, I guess, interesting barriers you have to kind of cross with that whole kind of corrections side of it. So it's interesting. It's a very, it's a different place to navigate.
What were the processes that you had to go through to because obviously you have your own processes around taking the photo, the portraits themselves, around dressing all of those that were going to be in the portraits. But then you've also got to deal with the prison protocols and processes. So talk to me about those. Yeah.
Well, obviously, you know, in this sense, prison protocols don't really fit very easy with tikanga Māori, just in terms of just the basic stuff. So we really wanted to be able to obviously touch, hug the men. We wanted to move organically and kind of work organically with them as if they were people that we'd met out, you know, outside the wire, or customers that had come. And it was really important that we had them in a place where they were really comfortable. So there wasn't actually any guards. There was just a facilitator during the time. Guards would come in and out, but it wasn't, you know, a heavily guarded experience. If anything, it felt like catching up with some cousins or meeting some long lost bros. I think with the correction side, you know, Kevin Smith really helped us with that, because in terms of what we knew, we were blind and bureaucracy isn't my strong point. And so with what we do, it was really just trying to come to an agreement on the things that we could manage to be able to do within the restraints of you know, Ministry of Corrections. Yep. But I think we pulled it off. They allowed us to be able to have time with the men, kōrero. I think we definitely were able to find a great balance, and we were able to feel like it was organic, like it was, we were doing whakawhanaungatanga with people we cared about, not coming in to help prisoners. Because really it's about uplifting Māori, and sometimes for that you got to go to where Māori are, and sadly due to colonization we're in prisons. It was a hard process, by lots of emails and lots of blimmin' back and forth, but we pretty much had an MOU with Waikerea around the portrait taking, as well as the exhibition that we hold on the graduation day.
A key part of this is getting the tangata mohere, we'll call them tangata mohere, those in the prisons talking about their tupuna, because this is about I guess, rejuvenation of those old portraits that we see in the marae, right? That's a big part of what you do with Soldiers Road. What was it like? What was the response of prisoners when you got them to talk about their tupuna, particularly if they had photos with them that you use as a basis for these portraits? How would they respond when they started talking about their tupuna as they went through this process?
I mean, it's amazing what Hini Wirangi is able to do with, you know, what I would call culturally disconnected whānau of ours within the prison walls. And so she really delves deep into whakapapa with them, into the importance of how those, you know, how Tamati Kapua threaded his ways into you. And so she's really able to bring that understanding to the boys. And so they always talk really openly. By the time they came to do the portraits, there was a little knowledge behind each of their tupuna. Some writ to Toroa, some just writ to their nanny, but the kōrero and the pride that these men displayed and the understanding that they knew about the importance of their tupuna, especially at that point in their lives, it was always awesome. And they always, you know, had wonderful things to talk about. We had one guy who, you know, he pretty much attributed lots of his cheeky ways to one of his tupuna that he'd learnt about through the program there. And so, yeah, the tupuna call, and you're right, it does. It's a cycle thing. It basically, we get them to write letters to their tupuna, we create images of them looking like their tupuna, and we remind them that one day they're going to be a tupuna. If they have children, they are intrinsically about to be a tupuna, and how do they want to be remembered? Those are the things. The tupuna element of our experience is pretty crucial.
Were there any issues of whakamā that you had to deal with the prisoners? Because obviously they're in the whareherehere, right? So, and a key concept of this mahi is mana. So how do you deal with whakamā that they have to deal with the shame potentially they felt as a result of where they found themselves in prison?
You know, it's funny because lots of people were like, oh man, were you scared? I'm not even kidding. The guys were scared of me. I think I was probably more scary. We were more scary and intimidating to them. Yeah, there was, you know, for a lot of these men, they've never sat for a portrait before. Some of these men, the only time they've ever sat for a portrait was a mugshot. So, you know, recreating that experience, you're right, introducing their own mana within that space to be nourished with. There were a few, but the cool thing is that through doing Soldiers Road, Vienna and I have gained great skills in whakawhanaungatanga and making people feel at ease and kind of, I've got six older brothers, so I can definitely, you know, vibe, and we were able to bring each of them out. There was not one that came and then didn't want to do it. So we're able to bring each of them out of that whakamā, and it's actually really easy. You just ask them questions about themselves. We ask them questions about their whānau. You know, we asked them if they had a whakatauki, what would that be? We wrote it all down so that we had these little awesome snippets of these men while we were doing, the portrait experience.
Tāniko, what about the issues you have to deal with in terms of the portrait process with them, and you go through that process with them? How long does one portrait take, given you've got to go through all this kōrero?
Yeah, so we actually, funnily enough, what we deliver to our tangata mohiri is probably our most beefed up and awesome experience. So we really give it our all. And we usually try and do, obviously, whakawhanaungatanga, where your people from, this is where our people are from. But we also like to talk a little bit more about the person that they're trying to be or things that they're good at, things that they enjoy. And it just gives context to why we're there doing the portrait. You know, obviously, they might be like, oh, we're just going to come in and take a picture. But the reason why the picture is so important is because it links in and ties them back in with their purpose, with their cultural identity, with who they are, with where they're going. And so we find if we caught it all with them at the same time, it kind of beefs up, the whole experience. All up, it would take, depending on how talkative the guys are, and sometimes they can be real talkative, can take between half an hour to an hour, 45 minutes, but it's not very hard. The photographing and styling part is usually really easy. We have some men that come in knowing exactly what they, you know, what they'd like to wear or be adorned in, and others that are really laid back. So it's just that process is really easy. It's the kōrero part, the whakawhanaungatanga, the encouragement, the tautoko. That part's the real important part for me and V, and that's what gives those portraits purpose for them as well.
The ultimate outcome here is to reintegrate these tangata mohere back into the community, to reduce Māori recidivism rates, to help achieve Te Hokaerangi, the corrections strategy initiated over the last couple of years. Have the whānau of these tāngata mohere said that this has worked for them, for their whanaunga in prison, and for the whānau themselves?
Yeah, so how our, I guess, our initiative works is we print three photos. One is for our exhibition we hold within Waikerea. It was really important for us to allow the men to be exhibited, for them to see themselves in a way that was dignified and an honourable and almost, you know, in a beautiful way. And it's really cool to always watch, you know, these grown men kind of run inside this room and have a look at themselves hung up on the wall. So we give one to the exhibition. We give one, obviously, to our, you know, to the tāne who's inside. And then we also send one home to the whānau member. That part's really important because at the end of the day, our connection with our whānau is always going to be the thing that kind of gets us through the really tough times. So what we hope to do by sending an image home to whānau is to remind the whānau at home that, hey, this person's changing. This person is connecting with his tikanga Māori. He's connecting with his, you know, he's doing whai kōrero, he's learning maurākau, he's saying karakia. How are you preparing to treat this person with this kind of ahua at, you know, when they get out? So it's a responsibility of all of us. It can't just be up to the tāne in prison to fix himself and get out. It has to be, you know, Indigenous have always been a collective people, and so it's still the same now. It has to be a collective effort from whānau at home, support people like myself. But the whānau, we've had some really beautiful stories. I remember recalling one of a a mama who recalled that when her tāne got out, her partner, it was nighttime, and so obviously the kids were asleep. But when he walked in the room, he saw that his portrait of him looking, you know, like a staunch rangatira, was hung in their room, and he just sat on the ground and cried. And that for me is beautiful validation that they understood the purpose of the exercise and saw it in context as well when they got home.
It's an amazing project, and you're right, these things need to be done collectively. We need to work collaboratively with our whanaunga who are in the whare here here. And I wonder, though, if there may be some pressure brought to bear on you as you work through the extended program of this work, given that potentially you're going to be approached to go to other prisons as well. Are you concerned about that? There'll be a lot of pressure on you to try and help others achieve their goals with what you're doing?
You know, I think if you're Māori now and you're somebody and you're Māori that are wanting to see Māori succeed, then you can't be afraid of those sorts of things to hold you back. I remember, because we don't get funded from, we haven't so far, got funded for our mahi in prisons. And I remember Hini Wirangi saying something along the lines of, you know, you can't wait just for money. Is money going to be the thing that stops you from helping your people? And when she said it so simply like that, money would never stop me going into any prison and trying to uplift and tautoko, you know, our people, especially those that are struggling.
But Tainiko, you and Vienna run a business here, right? Yeah. Soldiers Road, you set Soldiers Road up as a business here. You're doing yourself a disservice, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. It's the opposite. You're working the opposite. What we usually find is the mahi that we kind of koha, or the stuff that, and we are working at getting this funded, getting our mahi funded, even if it's outside funding as well. But when you give, I guess for me, my understanding of who I am as a Māori wahine, giving koha and time to spaces that I know need it, we do benefit in other spaces. You know, it might not be with money, but it might be a really awesome opportunity or a wonderful story. But our hopes and dreams are we're actually on the verge of expanding. So that pretty much means our commercial side will be able to train other people to help us run that. My goal is to be able to get into to be able to work in prisons every day if I could, funded by my commercial Soldiers Road arm.
Tainiko, you said in response to colonisation, quote, "Don't turn up and paint a picture with a brush dipped in mud and expect us to see rainbows." Oh. Are you worried that, or have you forgotten you said that?
I remember the person I was saying it about, actually.
What do you say to those who will be listening to this and say, actually, what you're doing is starting portraits and pictures with a brush dipped in hope and expectation and aspiration that eventually might be not be able to turn the tide. What do you say in response to them about that?
Do you mean like that the pictures won't make a difference?
Yeah.
I think for me, they already have. Like the fact that I'm even talking to you now mean that they have. But I've seen and felt the ahua and the ahua change or the wairua feel good in the moment and creating the pictures. And I think you're right. You know, what can a picture do? But the experience of connecting with your culture, feeling proud of who you are and having people tautoko you in a way that validates and feels good for you is only ever going to be good. Now, there might not be statistics yet to show our reach just yet, but I believe if we continue to have this kind of whakaaro and way of thinking, very soon there'll be enough statistics or stats to be able to prove that encouraging anyone to know more about their cultural identity, whether they're Māori, Pākehā, Chinese, you know, anyone, is always going to benefit that person and always going to benefit those around them. And I'd say to them, well, shucks, I'd like to see what you're doing too.
Tāniko, thank you so much for the kōrero. I've really appreciated it. For those who are listening right now, there's a gallery on the webpage on RNZ. Have a look at them. There are some amazing portraits here. They are amazing, Tāniko. I think you're on there too, actually. At Grand Central. Yeah, you in Vienna, yeah. There's one of you at Grand Central New York City, which is absolutely amazing. And there's a couple of Ngā Bui. I think there's some of my whanaunga on there, actually, so thanks for that.
It is Spot a Kazi on our albums, actually.
Hey, unfortunately, it's such a poor canvas. You don't want to be doing one of me. Hey, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time this morning. I wish you all the best. I hope Soldier's Road keeps going forward. And we hope to be able to talk to you again soon. Tāniko tēnā koe.
Kia ora.
Kia ora, mai. That was Tāniko Nordstrom, who, along with her sister-in-law, Vienna Nordstrom, are the owners of Soldier's Road. And again, if you can check out the website, have a look at some of those amazing portraits.